This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. They've gathered all the nonsense from around the world to mock it. This is The Nate Darling Show.
You guys were excellent tonight.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll see you inside.
Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Hey, it's me and the gang. Jason Casey is here. Hi, Jason.
What's going down?
Kareem Daniels is back.
I'm black.
Indeed. We don't hold that against you. It's all good, my friend. Coming up on the show today, the Friday episode, some weird stuff happening in UFC. They're banning people. They're not banning people. Who knows? We've also got a really nice Florida corner for you.
Yes.
What happens at the Redneck Mud Park doesn't always stay at the Redneck Mud Park.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. The place is called the Redneck Mud Park.
Oh, wow.
I'm not being derogatory. That's what they call themselves. Plus, the lead singer of Korn is more clever than you might think. Or is he?
Hmm.
We'll explore all of that. But first, Jason, we didn't get into this last time because we were talking about Muhammad Ali and Kareem's trip. How was your week? You settling into the new abode, dealing with all that stuff just nicely?
Yeah. We hung some pictures up this last week, and just settling in, you know? It's still weird. It's still so weird to, like, know that this place is your house and this is where you're going to be for the foreseeable future, you know? So.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's what we did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Leslie and I, she's gone now on a little trip, but this past weekend we went to the Rockland Brewfest.
Ooh, I saw the pictures of it.
Yeah, it was not a bad little thing. Ended up with free tickets, so that was the reason that we went. It was a good time. She bought some raffle tickets, won a growler fill and a flight from Out of Bounds Brewing, which is up in Rockland. There was also a ring toss, so won a 6-pack of beer on that. Actually, Leslie won the 6-pack of beer on that because she's the one who tossed the winning ring. But yeah, it was a good time. It was Saturday, of course, around here. The last week or so until the past couple of days around Sacramento, it's been 100 degrees plus.
Oh, yeah.
It's been brutally hot.
Glad I missed that.
And Saturday was different because it was overcast. So it wasn't 100 degrees, but it was pretty humid. It wasn't quite North Carolina humid, but it was 90 and humid.
Yeah, enough to make the swamp cooler not work.
Yeah, North Carolina wasn't that bad until Saturday, and then Saturday it was hot as hell.
That would be 3 minutes into the show.
Darn it.
The radio-friendly edit.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay. That's all right. 3 minutes. That's perfectly okay.
That's 25 cents for the cuss jar.
You're going to owe the swear jar a ton of money. No, the Rockland Brewfest was really cool. It was nice because we've been to most of the breweries that are around Sacramento proper, West Sacramento and Sacramento. There's a couple we haven't been to yet, but I've been to most of them. And I was able to sample some places that are out in Roseville and Rockland that I had not been to, hadn't heard of. And so it was kind of cool to be able to do that. One of the places was Dragus Brewing, which is in Rockland. Their building is right on a corner, and it's a very impressive building. It looks like a place where there would be a high-powered, like, insurance firm, and it's a brewery.
Hmm.
little brewery right there, and they do a couple of really, really nice beers. So we went there afterward and got a growler fill. So it was fun. And then Sunday, we got our Save the Dates ordered.
Ooh.
Yes.
And the wedding website, mostly done. It's not completely done, but, you know, because you can always add registry stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
But the bones of it are there because we needed to get that done so that we could order the Save the Dates and get all that stuff done because we are under 6 months to the wedding.
Ooh, it's getting close.
Yeah, November 25th. November 25th. And the honeymoon is booked, which is the most important part.
Oh, yeah. That's the best part.
That's the most important part.
Are you guys going right after the wedding?
No. The wedding is on Friday. We are leaving on Tuesday.
Oh, well, that's still close enough to, like, make it.
Yeah, it's not like we have a detached honeymoon that's going to be weeks and weeks down the road.
Yeah.
we didn't want to try and leave right after and have to deal with all, because there's always stuff after the wedding to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got people that are coming in from out of town and all of that stuff, and it's Thanksgiving weekend. So we were going to go on Wednesday, but once we started checking around for stuff, that it may just made more sense to leave on Tuesday and come back the following Wednesday.
Can you say where you guys are going?
We're going to Maui.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Yeah, but you guys have made it official.
It is official. The airline tickets are booked. We are going first class to Maui.
Nice. Ooh,
that's the perks of marrying somebody who travels all the time for work.
Right.
So we're doing that. We're staying in a couple different hotels. We are flying back. We have a layover in Honolulu on December 7th.
All right.
Pearl Harbor Day.
Pearl Harbor Day.
And I'm like, oh, we have a layover on Pearl Harbor Day in Honolulu. And she's like, what? It's not going to be busy. It's not that big a deal. And I'm like, I'm thinking it probably is.
Yeah, I'm sure the whole town's going to be shut down for the most part.
Yeah, so we're going to have 3 hours. I was looking around, and I'm like, well, we could do a helicopter tour. And she's like, I do not want to do a helicopter tour. I'm like, but that's what TC did on Magnum P.I. Mm-hmm. Because here's what I know of Hawaii. The Open to Hawaii 5-0 with the big curl wave. Mm-hmm. I know that. I know the Ironman triathlon, which I will never do. I know that TC flew a helicopter and Rick ran a bar on Magnum PI.
Aren't you about in Ironman condition right now?
Oh, God, no. But since you brought it up, as of the recording of the show, I have, in fact, gone for a run for 30 straight days.
Boom.
Not... And
that is not a sarcastic clap.
No,
that is, I am proud of you, clap.
No, I appreciate that. You know, I didn't think I could either. It was one of those things where, and I've trained in the past where I've done 5Ks, 10Ks, so on and so forth. And you train differently for that. You take days off. You push yourself, push yourself, push yourself, take a couple days off, rest, recover. This is very different. So you would think after 30 days, I would be much further along in terms of how far I'm going and how fast I'm going, but I am not, because I'm not getting that recovery time in. But that's okay, because the whole point of this is just to run every day.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. That's the beauty of running, is you can do whatever you want.
Do you feel better after doing it for 30 days straight? How's it feeling? How's
you know, I do feel better, except for a lot of times my legs feel like someone has been kicking me in my leg muscles, because I'm not taking the time to...
Recover.
Although, I mean, the shoes I bought Ultra Paradigms, which are super cushioned shoes, because I knew at the weight I am at, if I did not have enough cushioning when I was running, that I would actually hurt my feet.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of, running is a lot of impact anyway. And when you don't have enough cushioning on your feet and you hit the ground like that, the bones in your feet are only so thick. You know, big boned is not really a thing. Especially not in your feet. I mean, sure, in your abdomen, but not in your feet. So those are small bones, and you can do a lot of damage with little stress fractures. So I've been very careful, but yeah, 30 days straight as of the recording of the show. I was there, and there have been multiple days where the only thing that got me out was the streak. That was literally the only thing was the streak. And now I've been getting people saying, oh, what you're doing is really inspiring. And I'm like, oh, no, no. Now that I'm inspiring people, I'm responsible. Now I have to. Now it's another layer of it.
You just mess yourself up there.
But I do love, there were people like, after 3 weeks, it becomes a habit. And I just laugh and laugh. That is the biggest load of BS in the world that people try and sell you. That if you do something for 3 weeks, it becomes a habit. No, no, no. No, no, no. It becomes a routine, but it does not become a habit. It really does. Because seriously, I could stop running tomorrow and then just not run again for months. If you have a habit, let's say your habit is drinking, and you just go, oh, well, I have a habit of drinking. I'm not going to drink for a day. You're going to pick that up. You're going to pick up a drink within a week. Yeah. I could stop running tomorrow and not run for months.
Yeah.
It is not a habit. It is an effort. It is some days it's an ordeal.
Oh yeah, no, there's definitely days where I want to go out and have a drink.
Sure. Oh, I mean, yeah, and that's a very different thing.
Well, no, but I mean, it's not, like you said, it's about it's not easy. It's never once you've stopped.
Yeah.
Or once you start, it's not. It's a marathon. You know what I mean? You're
right, and there is a momentum to it.
Yeah.
Like I said, there have been days that having the streak is the only reason I go out.
Exactly.
And the reason that I've been documenting it on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr, because I have so many Tumblr followers, is to hold myself accountable.
Yeah.
Not because I'm like, look at me, I've been running for 12 days straight. It's like, hey, I've been running for 12 days straight. I need to make it 13. I need to make it 14. I need to be, and that's why.
Right. And a year from now, you know, when you see the memory that you get on Facebook of you running, you're like, hey, I'm still running.
Hopefully. We'll see. The next really big challenge, and I really thought this week that Monday might be the day that it ended at 28 days, because I woke up in the morning and my left hamstring was really bothering me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to work. I'm going to see how I feel all day. I'm going to let it stretch out. And I was able to go for a little run after work on Monday.
There you go.
And then I got up Tuesday morning and went for a little run and voted because the polling place is around the corner. So
oh, yeah.
I literally, while on my run, went, oh, polling place, boop, went in and voted, finished up. There was no one in line. There was no one in line. And apparently a half hour in, not a single Republican had been in that polling place. Very disconcerting to the older gentleman because there are young people there. running. There actually was one. There was like one 18-year-old kid and then a bunch of senior citizens. And the senior citizens were like, oh, where do you live? Oh, I live right over here on the corner. Oh, I live over here in Southport. And they're like, where do you live? And he goes, I live in Elk Grove. He ain't even in the county, so he drove it. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey so far. And if I can, my next big challenge is going to be Vegas, because I have to be in Vegas for work, and I am going to have I'm going to have work obligations that start at 7:30 in the morning,
and then don't end until like 7 p.m.
You know. Right, but I can't go for a run in Las Vegas in the middle of June at 4 in the afternoon.
Oh. Can I make a suggestion?
Because it's brutally hot. If you suggest a treadmill, I will beat you with my shoe. That is a last resort. That is a complete last resort. I have had to put 2 treadmill days in during this streak. I hate treadmills. What is your suggestion? Go ahead.
Well, my suggestion was going, it was not, for sure, it was not going to be to use a treadmill, so it does not matter what my suggestion is.
I'm not wearing a shoe right now, Jason, so you're pretty safe. I'm barefoot. It was an idle threat.
Yeah, well.
There was no Ike Turner in that threat.
I don't know. You had your hand, like the backside of your hand up.
Well, I didn't threaten to backhand you. I threatened to beat you with my shoe. That's a very different thing. Yeah, so that's coming up, and we'll see. Once you get to 30 days, what's a little bit more?
Yeah.
Unless I'm like, you know what, I'm really getting nowhere fast. And by fast, I mean slow.
You could go to a strip club when you're in Vegas, at least, right?
I could. I'm not going to, but I could. Because nothing good happens at a strip club. Just ask Broncos star Aqib Talib. He was at a strip club on Saturday night, and he got shot. He was at V Live. Ooh, I wonder what that refers to. When a club goer allegedly pulled a gun and shot somebody, the fight moved outside and another person was hit. Dallas police say that Talib was one of the victims. He was taken to Medical City Hospital. He was discharged. He's going to be okay. I'm sure he's got some splaining to do to the Broncos. There was someone recording outside the strip club, because of course there was, and here's what it sounded like. TMZ has the audio of this.
Of course they do.
And they're just across the street. There's people milling about. Looks like there might be a fight or something. Don't know. And you'll hear it in a second.
Just started busting, man. Somebody got pissed in there, huh?
4 shots. So...
Speculation is he shot himself.
I know. I saw that. The joke I read was Plaxico Burress and Akeem Tlaib walk into a bar and the bartender says inaudible due to gunshots. So, you know, I'm glad he's okay.
They said he was so drunk he doesn't remember what happened.
Oh, that's not going to be good.
Man.
That's not going to be good to explain to your boy.
He got shot, I think, through the front of the thigh and it came out of the back.
Oh, no.
It's something like that, yeah. So there's a strong possibility
that he Plaxico Burress
it.
Now, the lucky thing for him is it's in Texas where that's perfectly okay to do. And Plaxico did it in New York City where it's a huge no-no.
Yeah. So somebody actually did shoot the other people, but they think he might have shot himself.
Well, sure they did. Thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness.
Apparently he couldn't get it out far enough not to shoot himself.
I swear to God, if he was wearing sweatpants, it's like Plaxico Burress, like, why would you put a gun in sweatpants?
I have no
idea. That's just dumb. That is just dumb.
And why would you not have the safety on if it's inside, you know, your... Because obviously it was...
Yeah,
let me just tell you this.
If I'm putting anything in my pants, the safety's on.
Right. Too drunk to drive.
Yeah.
Too drunk to fire a gun.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. You should get an FUI.
Firing under the influence.
Yes.
I'm sure there is something to charge him with, but again, thankfully for him, he was in Texas. So he'll be okay. You know who is okay now but wasn't is Brian Welch. He was the guitarist from Korn. He went on Matt Weiss and Theo Von's Allegedly podcast to talk about his experience with Federal Express. He had good things to say.
Should you be dead?
Yes.
Should you?
Yeah, I did enough drugs.
Do you have a specific moment that you can recall as being the lowest point?
In my life?
In your life.
Yeah, in Germany, 2004 in the winter, and I was watching a package come from California, then to like New York, then to like UK, and then somewhere else, and then it landed in Germany.
And then I realized that was in Korn.
It was a meth in it. And I was watching it through the FedEx mail online. And so that was the gutter.
And you realized you were self-aware at that moment to like, what am I doing?
I could get arrested for stuff like that. You can't send drugs over. And so I was like, I got my daughter at home. I'm risking everything in my life. So that was the bottom.
He's sober now, so that's the good news. But yes, he shipped himself 3 8 balls of meth from California to Germany.
Wow.
He FedExed them, and they absolutely positively got there overnight.
We didn't absolutely must positively get there overnight.
Yeah, seriously, a lot of shipping companies, everything comes damaged. His meth arrived in pristine condition. And then he really hit rock bottom when he realized he was in Korn.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. You're in Korn. So over the weekend, there was a UFC pay-per-view, and one of the reporters, his name's Ariel Helwani of Vox's MMAfighting.com, reported that Brock Lesnar, the former UFC heavyweight champion and current WWE superstar, was in serious talks to compete on the big UFC 200 card next month. Later in the evening, he said that he had, along with his colleagues, universally considered the best videographer and photographer, respectively, in MMA, had been thrown out of the UFC event that they were covering, and that they had been banned for life. He tweeted, "I was escorted out of the building by Zuffa staff before the main event. Credential taken away, too. Didn't see Bisping realize his dream." He then tweeted, "My longtime colleagues were also escorted out of the building with me. Sorry to report no post-fight coverage tonight. I love this sport and job with all my heart. Did nothing unethical. I reported fight news. That's it." And then we're told we're banned for life. So apparently the big issue was he dropped that news before UFC wanted it reported, because when they're doing announcements like that, they usually do it during the pay-per-view, because that's what gets buy rate's up.
Right.
Is, oh, if there's going to be an announcement, it's going to be here. You want to hear it? You've got to be here. And he let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. So,
yeah. They shouldn't have told a journalist what was going on.
Well, I don't think they did. That's the thing. Is he has sources because he's a journalist.
Well,
that's what happens.
That's what that's what I'm saying is that's what his job is, to report the news. And
but
Dana White's a bit of a
freak. Man.
He's a control freak.
I was going to say something else, but we're on a clean show.
It's the radio friendly show. Here's a little bit of context. UFC has actually a long history of blackballing reporters and outlets who offer critical coverage or displease them. That includes Deadspin, who irritates a lot of people. that happened. But the good news is, only a few days later, after going on the Dan Patrick radio show, his credentials and his colleagues' credentials were all returned. Yay! Following a conversation with the editorial team at SB Nation, UFC will not prevent MMAfighting.com from receiving media credentials to cover live UFC events. We respect the role the media plays in our sport and beyond, including MMA Fighting's ability to report news. However, in our opinion, we believe the recurring tactics used by its lead reporter extended beyond the purpose of journalism. We feel confident our position has now been adequately communicated to the SB Nation editorial team. So they had a meeting and said, keep your boy in line.
Yeah, and I think somebody said something to Dana like, you can't just throw out like them. You just throw those guys out.
If you want to be considered an actually legitimate sport, you can't throw people out like your WWE, which is not a sport. It's entertainment.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways. In fact, Dan Patrick in the interview offered, he goes, well, what if we got credentials and just sent you as our correspondent? And then the next day, Dana White came out and said, well, if he wants to buy a ticket, we're not going to ban him from coming. And then a little while later, it's like, okay, go ahead and do that. It's all good.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff coming. So Brock Lesnar back in UFC for UFC 200. And finally, they have announced CM Punk's first fight. 2 years after he leaves WWE to become a UFC fighter, he has finally scheduled his first fight.
I think he must have realized that they actually hit people for real.
Well, he had surgery about 5 months ago for something.
Yeah.
Some sort of injury. But yeah, 2 years and no fights. So it was one of those things. So looking forward to seeing Phil Brooks, also known as CM Punk, finally in the UFC octagon.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, strip clubs. Jason.
Oh, they're cool. They put so many women through college.
Kareem.
Cool.
You know, strip clubs are cool. You know what's not cool? States that have these laws that you can't have fully nude and alcohol in the same room. Is having a beer suddenly going to make me unable to control myself when the power of lady parts come out from underneath that tiny, thin veneer?
Well, Iowa has the bring-your-own-beer rule. Or the club I went to in Iowa. You can bring your own beer.
Sure.
And that was their way of getting around that rule.
Well, in California and New York both, you cannot have alcohol in the building.
Yeah.
If there is a woman's vagina out to the room.
Yeah, you have the juice bars.
Yes.
They become like juice bars.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. And then what happens is the guys just get
drunk in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's what we used to do.
It needs to be like Canada. Canada has it right.
How's that?
Bring me a beer. There's the naked lady. Here's a loony. Put it in your thing. No, they don't do that with a loony. It's much classier than that. Up next in Cooler Tool, FedEx. Kareem.
FedEx is cool.
Jason.
When they deliver stuff to your right place.
Right?
Oh, well, they're absolutely positively cool.
You'd think that unless you had to stay at an airport hotel in Memphis.
That is true.
Because Memphis is the world's busiest airport after the sun goes down, because that's where they all go through. And that stinks! And finally, a cooler tool, Dana White. Dana White. Jason.
You got to respect the man for what he's built, what he's put together with the UFC. But at the same time, he's a tool.
Kareem?
He's a tool.
He is. He's completely a tool. A very successful tool, but a tool nonetheless. So there you go. Hey, we got some very interesting news from close to here. Vacaville, California. That's Spanish for Cowtown. Police in Northern California say they've arrested 5 men for stealing $4,700 worth of energy drinks. Jason.
I saw that this morning, too. What in the world?
San Jose TV station KNTV reports that Vacaville police officers nabbed the 4 adults and 1 juvenile last Friday as they wheeled a cart full of Red Bull out of a grocery store and then loaded it into a waiting U-Haul van. How much Red Bull is that? Oh, it is expensive, but still. The Vacaville Police Department says the grocery store was one of many places visited by the group. Aha. Police said the U-Haul van was packed with the energy drink. They say that 4 adults were booked into the Solano County Jail and the minor into a juvenile hall. Here's a shocker. All from Oakland.
I don't even know what.
They're going to get. Well, you steal the Red Bull. Okay. Then you go back to Oakland. And you sell the Red Bull on the street for like $2 a can.
Yeah. Or you take it to the little bodegas all around town and sell it to them.
Yeah. Well, or either way, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, you sell it
Or you get caught and go to jail, you idiots.
Yeah. Like, what made them think they could pull it off multiple times? Like, I'm sure like after the third one, you're like, all right, let's I think we pressed our luck, guys. Nobody's after us yet.
They clearly had a goal, and I'm not going to go ahead and profile what race that these fine gentlemen were, but it's possible this was some sort of initiation of some sort, where it's like, okay, here's what you got to do, and if you want into our club, don't come back until you're done. First, go rent a U-Haul.
First, rent a U-Haul.
First, rent a U-Haul. That's really most of the initiation. Just get the U-Haul.
Well, you passed, but we couldn't just let you just rent a U-Haul.
That's right.
I mean, you have the credit, so thank you.
Come on. I went to the U-Haul place, and they said they didn't have the size we wanted, and I waited behind this woman wearing socks and sandals. It took half the day. It doesn't matter. You're not in the club until you go and steal $4,700 worth of Red Bull. It's just what has to be done if you want in the club. It's a pretty good way of doing it without being profiling at all.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
Yes, a Florida man is in jail after allegedly running over a couple that was under a tent at the Redneck Mud Park in Punta Gorda on Saturday. According to WFLA, 24-year-old Brandon James Edwards of Palm Harbor became angry after an ice chest fell off of a vehicle at Randall Jones Campground and broke, sparking an argument between the two. Edward left the campsite and allegedly made comments about getting his ATV and running over the campsite. Trey Hill and his girlfriend Sabrina Tishner, they were inside a tent at the camp when they heard the sound of an ATV approaching. Kareem, we know that sound, right?
Yep.
The ATV then ran over the tent with the couple inside. The good news is they were able to escape out of the mangled tent, make it outside, where Edwards was sitting on his ATV and told them, "Oh, I did not know you were in there." Police arrived to find the couple with tire markings on their bodies. He was arrested and charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. It looks like somebody got to him first because dude has a huge mouse under his eye and it's darn near swollen shut. "I did not know you was in there when I ran over your tent with my ATV."
You knew what you were doing.
Meanwhile, in Clearwater, Florida, a massive tractor tire was stolen from a Clearwater fitness facility.
Needed one for the truck.
Or opening your CrossFit gym one piece at a time. But the enormity of the object isn't the most surprising part of the case. See, a man with a prosthetic leg was seen on surveillance video rolling the giant tire away. Officers say there is no chance it was a misunderstanding. In the video, the man with a prosthetic leg is seen cutting cables and locks before he makes off with it. He rolls the tire to his vehicle, loads it, and drives away. The theft occurred last month at Anytime Fitness. Anytime. Subject is described as 25 to 30, weighing 180 pounds, and standing 5 feet 11 inches tall. He was wearing a red t-shirt and black shorts. Oh, and he has one leg! If you have any information on his identity.
Jason, was that your uncle?
Dr. Kimball. Oh, wait, that was a one-armed man. Call the Clearwater Police or Crime Stoppers. Oh, Florida. You never fail to let us down.
The name Punta Gorda made me think, because I was wondering what that meant. And I looked it up and it means fat tip. FYI. That's what it translates into.
Fat tip. like a large gratuity, you say.
Sure.
it was just a large gratuity. So anyway. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Once I make that one edit, it will be the radio friendly version. It's only one. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Take a couple seconds. I'm going to leave you with a song that I heard on the Tonight Show. Went into bed, turned on the TV, and the Tonight Show was on, and I'm like, "Oh, this sounds delightful. Who is this?" It's someone called Maren Morris.
I recorded that last night.
Yeah, and the song is called My Church, and I thought it was delightful.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share it with all of you. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday with the Uncensored episode. Oh, bye-bye. Yeah.
And remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.